Welcome to the OCR WC podcast. Today, I'm joined by athlete Federica Dicaria. From the Trifecta World Champs to Spartan World Champs, FISO WC to OCR WC, British Champs to European Champs to 3K Finals, she's raced across the world in almost all competitions. We chat about her journey into OCR, self-perception and belief, and how supportive the UK OCR scene is. Welcome to the OCRWC podcast, Federica.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here, seeing like the lineup of athletes that has been on this podcast.
Well, I mean, you say that, but we've seen your name lined up with some pretty great athletes, and you're achieving some pretty great stuff yourself. So I don't want you to undersell yourself.
I'm growing, or trying to. Yeah,
you are, and you're doing it quite rapidly. In the last couple of years, we've seen your name kind of steadily grow higher and higher. For those people who might not know who you are, where you're based, do you want to give a quick kind of roundup of who you are, really?
Right. So I'm based in the UK, London. So that's where actually I started OCR, and I discovered OCR. Was about, is it 5 years ago, 2019? My math is really bad.
It's so scarily, it is 5.
So yes, I started getting closer to running in 2018, and then OCR discovered around 2019. And that's where it all started. I started from zero. So I didn't have a background in either running or any, you know, gymnastic or any upper body activity. So I was pretty bad at the very start, but I like a challenge, and yeah, I just got really hooked, mostly because of the community, I guess. And I would have absolutely never imagined to one day be able to line up with some of the elite of the sport, which for me is a massive honor. So it's been amazing, like the journey in itself, and I think I'm incredibly lucky to have had the chance to progress and to just find myself at these incredible races and yeah, challenged by these people. And yeah, it's been really good.
I do feel the community in the UK is particularly strong. I'm not sure if it's because we're such a small country, so it's easy to be, but there's something quite special about the UK OCR scene, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. Like I believe that as OCR, it is a niche sport in itself.
Absolutely.
But when I found myself in the community, slowly getting to know people, I felt very welcomed, and that's probably what actually kept me coming. And everyone was celebrating the little win for each one of us, and so I never felt like, oh, I'm unable, I can't do this. I'm somebody that is very harsh on herself, so actually, like, doing these group classes at Wild Forest is where I started, and then where I met all my teammates from Nuclear Phoenix. And joining a team has played a massive part in my journey. But I started with a class there, with an OCR class there, and just seeing people every Sunday challenging themselves and trying to step up in very little things and learning movement from other, but always with a smile, always kind of laughing, even if outside was the most horrible and horrendous weather. It's played a big part. It was fun, most of all, starting. And then it became like just challenging yourself, and it was always about where I was and what I could learn. So it was never about like, oh, I'm not really good compared to, yes. I of course looked up to incredible races and to people both in the UK and then abroad, because when I started and I did my first OCR, then I looked at like the girls that were winning there, and I started following them on Instagram, and I was like, oh my god, look at what they do, it's incredible. But yeah, it's always been the UK community, which is also why I've been asked multiple times why I race for the UK instead of racing for Italy, because of course I was born in Italy and then I moved to the UK afterwards to study. And that is, I think, the main reason. I of course think that the OCR community in Italy is amazing. I'm getting to know people there as well right now. But when I started, I found myself immersed in the community in the UK. And I don't know, I almost feel like I owe them something to give them
You
something
trained with
back.
them, I suppose, so.
So I just, yeah, that's where I belong. So yeah.
It's been nice to see OCR growing in Italy in the last couple of years, and right now it's getting really big. But certainly, around then and before, it wasn't quite so big. There weren't so many races. So, I mean, with you being here as well, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. This is the country that you are competing out of. It's like boxes, isn't it? Fighting out of. I love what you say about having fun. I went to the dentist yesterday, and the dental nurse, she was chatting. She's saying, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I work for." And she's like, "Oh, you so like Tough Mudder?" And I was like, "Yeah,
A tough mother,
yeah, like Tough
yeah.
Mudder, pretty much." And she said, "Oh, my ex-boss used to do those. Not really my kind of thing, getting all muddy." And I was like, "Do you know what the nicest part about it, though, especially Tough Mudder, is kind of to see the connection and the childlike joy that people get from the sport. Yes, there's insane competition that happens, and the athletes who do it are just incredible. Even if you take away the obstacles, I still think the running that you see is incredible. But there's still an awful lot of joy for everyone who does it. And even with the training and horrible weather, and Wild Forest is not easy. You know, there's some pretty tough stuff there. It's a great location, but there is a lot of fun to be had with it. And I think that's kind of the real, when I say sticking point is the wrong word, but do you know what I mean? That's the point that people stick with this sport, that there's progression and achievement, but fun.
Yeah, it's definitely what drove me to the sport. And the sport has given me a lot, not just in terms of like the happiness I find. It's not just based on my results over time, or it is, of course, linked to seeing improvement, because seeing improvement pushes you and keeps you motivated. But yeah, it has changed and has helped me in every other aspect of life and my main job and just my daily habits and relationships. And like, it's just sport has played a really, really big part in the past few years. So yeah, I owe them a lot.
You said that you didn't have a background in, I think you said, running or gymnastics prior to OCR. Did you have much of a sporting background before you started?
I mean, I don't know if you consider it a sport. I was a, I did ballet since I was like,
Oh, amazing.
from when I was like 6, 7 to when I was like
I mean,
about
that's going to build
18.
some pretty great legs.
I think mostly it's coordination and body awareness. That has helped me. I do both in running and in doing the obstacle, there is an element of body awareness in running, changing your movement and learning to be more efficient. And of course, in the obstacle, massive in terms of going from one attachment to the other and realizing what you are doing with your body and how to effectively move through things to create a swing and multiple stuff. So I think that probably helped, but I also had to build the strength for it because I had none. I will forever, no, I literally had none. I'm not joking. I think the first Spartan race I did, because that was my first OCR, was a Spartan sprint. I wasn't very lucky. It was very rainy and very muddy, so it wasn't like
Were you?
the easiest start. I think it was the Midlands. I don't actually remember, you know. I would need to ask my partner, who I always train with, but I just remember it being incredibly muddy. And it's great fun because you were in a group, so there were other people with me in the open way venue. But the competition was on anyway. It was just between us, but
Yes,
the
of
competition was always
course.
on. But I literally tried to hang from the first ring, I think both hand on the ring, but I couldn't even move. Like I didn't know. Like I just dropped dead down.
Exactly. The first time I did rings was exactly the same. I think it was probably like my third race or something. They weren't at the first few races I did. And I saw the rings and I had memories in my head of gladiators as a kid and how much fun that looked. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Boom.
Yeah,
It's like
that
there
is
was
exactly the
no
image.
strength whatsoever. It
And
was
I
impossible.
also I remember that even the monkey bar was a big challenge. I couldn't even do rock climb. Rock climb was like sliding down because of course imagine like these really muddy rope after
Yeah.
everyone has gone through. And
You
I
were
had
probably
zero
wearing trainers.
experience. I was wearing some sort of trail shoes
Okay.
because I have, yeah, but not like the thread underneath was nowhere near enough. It was probably like trail shoes for like hard packed trails in Italy, not for the UK. So yeah, I wasn't very prepared, but it didn't matter. I had a lot of fun with my friends, so
That's
yeah.
good. I do love hearing about people's first race experience, especially when they've gone on to then improve so much and to kind of where they started. Because some people go in and they're like, yeah, I'd been running my whole life and I did this and I just
Yeah,
managed to do
I
this.
like
But
to
when it's
stress
like,
it actually, because I think that a lot of people in the sport think like, oh yeah, you know, like she runs with the elite, like of course she must have been running. Or there are a lot of girls that come from athletics or other girls that come from like really great backgrounds, and it's amazing. I wish actually my mom brought me to gymnastic when I was little, and I literally prayed her in every language possible because I wanted to become a ballerina. A disaster. Imagine if I'd done gymnastic.
I mean, I was the opposite. I did gymnastics and I wanted to do ballet, but I couldn't. I had this weird thing. I couldn't bear to ask to do it, and I was desperate. So I only started as an adult, and I loved it. And it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't do it as a child. And I did gymnastics as a kid, and I can tell you it didn't help me that much on obstacles.
Well, but it is what it is. Maybe it was meant to be. I don't even know if mentally, I would have been ready for you know, taking in the win and the losses and processing it the right way. Sometimes maybe I was too young, maybe I wasn't even ready, so maybe it's just meant to be.
Maybe. I think, though, there are some obstacles that always astound me because some of them are really, really difficult. Some of the grip obstacles, just some obstacles are horrendously difficult. But one that people seem to fail consistently, which is pretty much the only thing I can do, is a balance beam. And, you've got a head start there. You're going to have great balance. So you just know when that comes up that you're not going to be taking a penalty or losing a band on that one. For me, I'm
Well,
just like, yeah, that's it. That's all I can do.
I haven't yet. I'm not a big, super big fan of slackline, but I'm learning. But I think there it's mostly a mental thing. It's more like
Probably.
your head. So my balance is probably not that bad, but I am great at doubting myself, and in every obstacle, as soon as you doubt yourself, you're gonna
You're
fail.
done. Yeah. You just have to go in believing, don't you? I am on my very first race, I did a rope climb. How old was I? I would have been about 26. And it didn't even cross my mind that I wouldn't be able to do it because I was just like, well, I did these at school. And I just believed I could do it. It's quite difficult, but I just did it because I was like, well, I could do it when I was 9, so of course I can do it now. And just telling yourself you can, and I'm not a big fan of, the power of positive thinking without the work behind it, but having the sense of self and the confidence that you can do stuff is going to carry you so much further. Any doubt is going to, it really impacts things. It just is, it kind of
No,
breaks that.
it's a massive difference, and that's what I think is one of the biggest point I am actually still working on, and I've been working on in the past year as well. Because to improve, there is of course the physical training you need to do, and that is, let's not hide it, a massive part. It requires incredible work, but we all do work hard. But like it does. That's of course one of the main things, but. If it's not, if you don't have the mental side of it and the belief on to carry on within your work as well, then you can work as hard as you want in training, but then it's not going to carry you through once you race. There are some people that are absolutely incredible in training, and then they don't have the powering or the mind power to express themselves that in a race. And it has happened to me. I'm working on a lot, but sport has taught me to believe in myself a tiny bit more in every aspect, really, not just when I'm racing, even when I'm at work or when I'm pitching something or when I'm doing something, and just in my daily life to have enough courage to say, you know what, I'm doing this the best I can, I'm doing this, and that's good. It's taught me a lot.
That's good. I mean, the funny thing is, obviously, I follow you on social and I see your day-to-day life that we share, and you share a nice balance of work, training, just life. I would never have looked at you and thought she doesn't have faith in her abilities. That's not to say I've ever looked at you and thought that your
The
big head
power
is not a
social
Tory. It's doesn't go the
medias.
other way, but it's you just you see you come across as so competent and put together and focused, and that and I don't think that's that you're lying on social media or anything like that. I don't think that's not what I'm saying, that you're putting out a story that's false. Just from what you do and the way you work and everything you do, you come across as incredibly competent and together. So
Thanks. No, I wouldn't take it that way at all. It's very nice what you say. But it doesn't always feel the way I am, like most people probably, sometimes with my insecurities and the way I approach things, I try to catch myself ahead, but it doesn't always end up like that. But it has changed a lot as well, from when I started sport in 2019 and right now. I would say on a scale of believing myself, it's got a little bit higher than what it was. Not in terms of I'm amazing, in terms of I know that if I put work in, I can back myself a little more and I can believe that I can try at least to achieve what I would like. Whereas before I would be like, oh no, I could never do that. Why would I be able to do this? But I think insecurities come for everyone. It's more silly than.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was talking to a friend the other day about something, and he was like, have you got a bit of imposter syndrome going on right now? And I was like, oh, absolutely. And he's like, what? Wait, I actually am not sure what imposter syndrome is. So I explained, he was like, ah, BS, no, that's fine, shut up.
I do.
Like, we all do it. We all do it. And it's to an extent, it's not bad, because if we all just went, I'm brilliant and I don't need to improve anything, we'd never grow. But it's finding the balance between where am I being realistic on my points that need improvement, and where am I holding myself back by not seeing myself
I think
clearly?
actually, as a mentality in itself, it helps make it to push, to keep pushing ahead, both in work and in the sport. Because if I thought, oh yeah, I've done a great job, perfect, then that would be it. And you're like, oh great, whatever, I've done a great job.
I'm done.
I mean, I never think that, but I sometimes think, okay, I did good, how can I do better? That is mostly what happened. Or I did really bad. Why did it go bad?
I think that's great, though. That's just self-critiquing, isn't it? And that's good. And
Yeah,
if
I
you've
have
learned to
been
be,
really scared. Like the first time I was on an elite start line, I looked at next to me and I was like, "What? Why am I even here? What am I doing?
it's scary, isn't it?
What
It's
am
so
I
scary, that
doing?"
moment.
And probably at the time, I didn't actually belong there, but I think that just by wanting to, I probably like by having the intention of getting better, then in the end, I actually did belong there. Just
A funny thing to say, though, at that point I didn't belong to be there, and this is a bit of a sticky point for me with women in sport and why I think the new Spartan competitive wave is a really
I
good
think that's a
thing.
great idea.
I think it's wonderful, and I think a lot of women will kind of go, if I'm not going to be in the top three or four, then I don't deserve to be in that wave, and therefore they don't take the challenge. But if you'd never said, actually, I'm going to start in the elite wave, w at what point would you have said, I'm good enough? Maybe a few
I've
people
never
took
done
the
an age
chance and it
group
started to
race.
grow. You just went from
I went
open
from
to
open to elite.
my first ever race was elite.
I've never done
I
an age
just
group
went straight
race.
in. I only did age group once I had a kid and knew I was going to be walking. Like, just go for it. And it was a lot easier back then because it was this whole big one. It was more like the competitive wave. But yeah, I mean, take the risk and just go, yeah, I'm going to
It was
try
a bit
elite.
of
Why not?
ignorance, a bit of boldness, a bit of a bet with my friends. But there was the age group, and Sam almost, well, I don't think I would have even podiumed the time that I went on the elite race in the age group, but it didn't matter to me. It mostly mattered to me that I actually was sort of brave enough to put myself in that situation, and that kind of managed. That was kind of my biggest achievement and satisfaction from it. I was like, you know what? The reality is you are striving to be like these ladies. So might as well just start here.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a great way to do it, though. And if more people had that idea, those whales would grow and there would be more competition. And maybe more people would recognize, oh, maybe I can do a bit more. Maybe I can push a bit more. And
But I do think the Spartan, the new Spartan system is going to be great, particularly for women, just because you will have those battles in within your wave, your race, and it doesn't matter how is named, elite, age group, it can be whatever, it can be the open one, and then you decide who you have an open podium. I don't care the name of what it is. I just think that it's going to be really good for growth to have battle in within the race, because that's what really helped me when I finally managed to increase my pace a little bit and I got the back end of the elite race. Then I could actually push myself even more because I was seeing people, I was having fun trying to race them. And it's just the bad thing of the previous system in the elite was that, for example, in the UK, we had very few women starting. And so you had like a couple ahead and then maybe one in the middle. But in my head, they would be all battling all together. In reality, they were
And who'd
not.
be at the back?
In the reality, they were not either. They were just all spread out anyway, most of the time. So yeah, I think that actually it will raise the bar for everyone and will help us all getting better.
I think so. I've done age group races once it then split from elite to age group, and there was just a couple of us there, and I was like, I know I'm going to come last here, and that's fine. I was kind of putting myself in the age group because, you know, it was not long after having a baby, but it was fine, but it also felt a bit sad to kind of it be such a small field, and it felt so obvious, you know, if there'd been 20 of us, it wouldn't have felt like that, even though I still could have come last. I'm not saying more people would have made me better, but I don't know, it felt a bit revealing maybe to be so small.
But we do, as female and women, we do have all this thought that would never appear sometimes in the guys' minds. They would have just been like, hey, I put
Absolutely.
myself in this awesome position. I overcome so many challenges to be here. So why don't see it
and
like
that's
that?
down to us. I know.
There are also guys who think like us, to be honest, and insecurities are both sides, but it's true that there are more restraint and fears in the females' field sometimes to be judged and to be seen. And it's challenging because it's true. You think like, oh, what will they think of me if I make a mistake here or I do that? And it's the same for me. Like I think the same. I'm like, oh Jesus, now I need to do this multi-rig at the end. And what if I make a mistake? And the reality is that maybe people will think about it for about 2 seconds and then will keep thinking about themselves and they don't give a crap about you really in the long
I mean, from my point of view as somebody who watches the sport and, you know, observes it a lot, I'm just cheering on for people and then looking at why something might be interesting. The placement, you know, like you say, a multi-rig at the end. Is that interesting? Is that good? Is it bad? What's it doing to the race? What's it? But it's not necessarily about the individual person who going, ha ha, they screwed up here. Absolutely never. Like this, it's and I imagine most people are exactly the same. They're not interested in being mean to people. They're interested in cheering you on or working out the sport.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's what kept me in OCR really. There are critiques, but I think that the hardest critique is just me of myself.
Yeah, probably most likely. So when did you took on an elite Spartan race? What year was that?
2019, the European
2019.
Championship Beast in the Dolomites.
Wow, okay.
I'd never done a beast before.
And in the Dolomites
Yeah,
too, so
it
that's
was a
gonna
great
be
start.
Yeah, that's not just like Southwest beast. It's no, the European champs and the Dolomites. Okay, good. So that's a good platform to take it on. And what happened from there?
I think I got like probably second to last or something. Yeah, some people might not have been able to finish the race or something happened, but
some people didn't even start.
It didn't matter to me. It was such a an achievement. I think I broke my hands, like in terms of like the calluses and stuff, like halfway. So I literally came in a right state. It was great fun. It was amazing. I was like, whoa, look at this. I got through this entire thing in the mountains. That's just beautiful. What happened after that? COVID happened after that. So I did actually, I did my first elite Spartan in the Dolomites, and that was my very first beast and stuff. And then I did my first OCR, which was the World Championship at Nuclea in 2019, which of course
That was wet
treated
muddy.
me really, really well. I did that age group, to be honest, and I didn't even finish in my bands. I was aware enough that my obstacle skills were nowhere near.
That year was a killer. The weather mixed with the quantity of nuclear
And
obstacles.
mods.
A lot of people lost their bands,
Was
yeah.
horrible in a good way, as always. I have amazing memories of that race. I still look at the pictures. It made me feel so badass. I have these like incredible pictures attached to these rings that I was carrying almost like a little bag over my shoulder, because there was no way I was actually gripping anything. So I was just literally putting my entire arm just to get through the rings. The famous chicken wing right now. And I'm covered in mud. Like literally, there's probably my nose and my mouth out, and that's just as far as we go. But yeah, a disaster. I felt horrible after the race. I nearly got hypothermia, and I felt like a massive failure because I had just joined the Phoenix, and I was like, oh, I really wanted to do good for them. But then we went, which tells you back to about the spirit of OCR. We went all for dinner together, and we chatted about it, and I heard about, everyone else's kind of experiences. And in the end, I was like, you know what? I put myself in the challenge. I gave my best. Now I've got elements to work on so I can become better. So in the end, the race was amazing. Great experience. And then yes, and then we go back to COVID because it was 2020.
That sucked. That sucked. I mean, just to quickly touch on 2019, that was a really competitive year. We had a lot of athletes from Europe and the US, and a lot of, it was a great race for a lot of people. And for a lot of people, was it Lindsay? Did she fall off an obstacle and hurt herself and have to drop out? I can't remember, but it was either Lindsay or Nicole ended up like injuring themselves because it was so wet. And but the time when you're running, you don't know that. And I've certainly had those kind of headworms that come in telling me that, oh, you're doing terribly. Look at this. Why are you doing so badly? It's other people are managing. And really, we shouldn't judge our performance on other people's, but how else do we?
No, I mostly
How else
just
do we
looked
say to
up
ourselves it's
at
okay?
the ladies. There was Carrie and there was Ida, and I just discovered who they were, and I just was like, oh my God, an absolute awe. Like at their incredible abilities to go through obstacles and their strength. And it was just incredible to see.
Yeah, they are amazing ladies. It's wonderful to see them race. I'd love to see Karen come back and do OCRWC again.
I'm pretty sure that
But
she's got some good year planned.
So yeah, COVID, that's kind of struck us all. We were all hoping, desperately hoping. I remember when we made the call that OCRWC would not be happening in 2020, and it sucked so much. It really did.
Yeah, I can
And
imagine.
kind of went on for so long, didn't
Well,
it?
nobody
It
knew.
really did a bit of a number on racing. I think people waited for so long for things to lift that by the time it did lift, they'd kind of moved on to other stuff, and we're still feel that we're still recovering somehow.
I think it hit a lot of race organizers really hard. And when it opened up, it was very, very challenging to put on races. I remember that one of the first races I did was Nuclear Rush again. And they did amazing. They had to all have us like not masks, but like kind of covering our mouths, but they had also like gels along the course. Which if you just imagine nuclear mud with gels, it's just But is they still did their best, you know, to like keep us all safe and to put this on is very, very challenging. Having something in front of your mouth after having been down a slide was like waterboarding. It was horrible. But they tried. But they at the same time, it did give me a chance to actually train. And that I think. Because also I live with my partner. We started doing OCR together, and we lived together already when COVID happened. And so I think sport kept me and OCR kept me motivated throughout, because I knew at some point this would finish. I knew at some point it would reopen, and actually having something to do during the day, something to achieve, really I think kept me up mentally, and it meant a lot at the time. And not having to I know now, I didn't know at the times, but not to to have to like stop and taper and have just 1 year to literally just train, just stuck it up. It didn't matter if, you know, my interval session was a little bit tired because I had just done a super long run at the weekend, because they were saying go out once.
Yeah, it was
So
crazy,
we were
wasn't
doing
it?
this really long run just to stay out
It
in the morning. It was really
crazy.
bad. I'm
The
gonna
amount of
get
stuff that
arrested
we
after this.
did, I know. Like, yeah, the amount of stuff that we did and the way that we bent, and it was, all fine and great. But you look back at it and you're like,
It's mental.
we were only allowed to leave the house once, and we all did that.
So yeah, that in a weird way really helped me, because I didn't have an aerobic base or anything, and it just created something to build on for me. So yeah, that was really helpful when then races reopened.
It's mental to think like even outdoor events had to have restrictions
Yeah, it's
placed on
crazy.
them, like wearing masks and sanitary. And I get it, and it sounds crazy talking about it after the time, but at the time, it totally made sense. And now you're just like, sure, it would have been fine. I don't even remember when racing kind of opened up. I've kind of
Think it was
almost blotted
2021
that time period from my head.
around May.
We had our first race back at Stratton in 2021, but it was only Americans and people who had already got visas. So the Danes were there because they had already had a visa prior to COVID or something. Like a lot of us just couldn't get there. So we had an event, but it was smaller than it would normally
Yeah.
be. And then yeah, we opened up properly in 2022, which was only the event before last. It was only the event before the one we just had. That's when we opened up again. And when you talk about it like that, it sounds
I know you know the
crazy.
story, and it was really weird, but I did try to come.
Oh, I know. Tell the story because no one else knows it. Well, not many people know it.
well,
So
it was
this
just a
will be
bit of a
crazy then.
surprise. So my full-time job is as a video producer. I work for the Times and the Sunday Times, which are two papers here in London. So sometimes, it's not even that often, but sometimes I do get sent an assignment abroad. And I had just been to Iraq with one of the foreign correspondents to film a story. And yeah, I found myself completing the request for my ESTA. And the last question was, have you ever been to one of these countries? And Iraq was in the middle of it. And I was like, oh, this doesn't sound good. How does it work? And I, of course, said yes, because I didn't want problems at the border after. And then I started Googling, because I was like, this doesn't sound great. What are the rules? It actually isn't very clear, but like, it's not black and white. They don't tell you, hey, you will never receive an answer from the ESTA people, and you will never get approved. You need to discover that yourself. But basically, it came up that I needed to apply for a visa instead, because I had been to Iraq, which is a country that they don't like very much.
Well, yes.
But because COVID had just happened, they had an absolute mess at the embassy. And so to take an appointment it was months and months of wait, so I couldn't actually get to the US. Which was really funny because a year later or something, when I finally got my appointment, or 6 months later, I don't even remember, but it was a mess. The lady asked me, "Oh, so why didn't you get your ESTA approved?" And I looked at her and like, "You're joking, right?" And they just gave me a visa for like years and years, because of course it was just for journalism, for just work. It was clear the purpose why I was there. Definitely had no bad intention. And in reality, if COVID hadn't happened before, they hadn't had the
They wouldn't have
backlog,
then.
the process would have been much quicker to obtain a visa. They didn't put up a massive case for it, but I had already paid it. And I had
Oh, I
to,
remember you messaging and you're like, what can
that
I
is a bit
do?
of my ignorance. To be honest, I had been to the US before, but I hadn't been to the Middle East at the time. I was much younger and I wasn't working for the Times yet. I was completely unaware of this ban for these countries. So this is what happened. And then the following year, unfortunately, it clashed with the British Championship, which I really
No.
wanted to do. And I was
Oh.
like, oh, this is just silly.
I know. We had so few British people last year and we really missed them. Like
Because
it makes such
in
a
all
difference not having you all
fairness,
there.
it's an amazing race. I absolutely love the setup because it's a great mix of like a tough course, like a really beautiful tough course for running, and also some incredible obstacles. They're like challenging but require technique and everything to go through, when you can flow through them. I've watched the streaming so many times and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yeah, I haven't yet managed since 2019.
Oh, we want you back at
One
some
day.
point when it works for you. But I mean, it makes sense for the British champs. One, loads of people are going to be there competing. It was at Pippin for them, wasn't it? Which is a great location
Was
to
the
race. It's
historic
local.
place of the British
So,
champs, yeah.
oh, God, it's such a good location. And then that weekend, you also had something else on as well, didn't you? So there would have been two races you were missing out on to come to
Yes,
the
that came
States.
actually last minute because it wasn't originally my main plan. But so Spartan had the 3K series last year, and I managed to qualify in the last sprint race that was in August in the UK. I did much better than what I thought I would do. So I thought, hey, why not? You know what? Take the chance and the experience. Traveling in Europe is a little bit easier, mainly because I need to take less holidays for work. That is that is the main thing. So we took the chance and we got to Madrid for the Friday. So basically, the Friday was Madrid 3K Spartan, and then the Sunday we did the British champs at Pippinford. And the Spartan 3K was really fun. They were complete opposite. Like, one was super hot, the other one was like 7 a.m. in the morning, a bit cold.
Freezing cold October in the UK,
Not too bad, but definitely complete different weather for like a 2 days separation event. But yeah, no, it was amazing. They were like such a lineup. And it was really cool because I think it was the first time that we had that 3K system with the waves in Europe, because it had been done in America before throughout the series, but the way you qualified in Europe was just through the sprint 5Ks. So
Yeah, it was totally different to the
yeah.
US. There was a whole 3K series in the US, and then we had it all that was Europe and just the 3K final. But we also had it was really cool for the athletes, how it worked, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had like teams. We got selected for like little teams to represent on the day. And yeah, it was just like a really cool experience. So we had two waves for the ladies and two waves for the guys as well. I managed to get to the second round, but then I made a mistake. They put spear throw in the course, and that played a big part. I had an amazing first round. I couldn't believe it. I managed to get third in the first round, and it was just like unbelievable. But then the second round, I think a lot of girls that missed the spear the first round got it, and I missed it, so we got there.
That's really
But
frustrating.
Team UK did quite well. For my partner got top 10 and got to the finals. Yeah, it was really cool to it just like it was a really cool format to witness as well, because you were able to cheer along the course, and yeah, it's a great experience. I'm a bit sorry they won't put a 3K championship again, but they have just announced a really cool short course, like a 5K championship in Croatia, which I'm very excited about because Croatia is really beautiful. I've been when I was a kid with my parents actually on holiday. In Hvar particularly is like really beautiful. And then they have
Oh,
the
that seeing that video released, it looks
oh yeah.
so
It's gonna
beautiful.
be really, really cool. I think they can use the nature that for the course quite well, and it's gonna be very scenic. So I'm very looking forward to that one. I quite like the sprint, the short course, because it's a good mix of like speed and power, but also like efficiency through obstacles. So I'm trying to get better at that for now.
How about the 100 meters? How
Oh
do you feel
God,
about
I've never tried. No,
that?
that is part of my confidence building program.
I mean, honestly, people move through it so quickly. I was filming a lot of the 100 meters last year, not the final, because I was doing commentary, but just people's waves. And I was just running. Like, I was just running, filming, not doing obstacles. And I'd get to the end of 100 meters and say that it was taking like 52 seconds or something. I mean, that's not a fast 100 meters, but maybe I was just overexcited or something. And yeah,
No,
it's
we have some
hard.
great people in the UK. Tommy Matches is amazing at the 100 meter course, and he's got this great video on Instagram that went absolutely viral. I think he's about 32 seconds to go through the course. Or sorry, Tommy, if I got the timing wrong and I added you seconds, but it's just incredible. But it was a really beautiful event to see at the World Champs. I don't know how the Spartan course is gonna be. If it's gonna be the same obstacles like the modern pentathlon kind of course, or if they're gonna insert some Spartan obstacles in the 100
I've not
meter.
seen, I should probably know, but I don't. I've not seen anything that this is a partnership with World Obstacle or the Modern Pentathlon guys. And I always get that UPIM, UI. There's not been any announcement that this is in collaboration with them, but I would expect it to. So I don't know, because yeah, they're building some pretty good 100 meter
But
courses, which I imagine are going to be the
it's
standard.
cool
I
that they
don't
will
know. It's getting
attract more
confusing.
people to towards a sport like and it'll be very spectacular to watch. So I'm actually curious to see what they develop and everything. I'm not sure. I might give it a go for fun. I don't think I'd be incredibly competitive the 100 meters, sadly. But definitely the 5K would be cool if I could qualify for it. Yeah.
Is that kind of the distance that you kind of see yourself?
I think because I started kind of so late, I'm still trying to, which is funny because I'm gonna turn 33, so I'm pretty old.
Oh, boo-hoo, 33. That's
Yeah, but
ancient.
I started quite late, so I don't think I have that much speed left, but I think I still can work and try to get out of myself a little bit more speed. So I'm trying to focus on the 5, 10K distances. But of course, I do love endurance, and I am preparing for like the beast distance as well. But yeah, I have enjoyed it, particularly in the past year, the distances that go from like 5 to 15K. I think that is a good spot for me at the moment. But yeah, it's true that my favorite session of the week isn't track. It's probably the long run where I can just get lost in the woods for a long time. But I think I've got still a little bit of time. One day I'll turn to ultras.
You do. You've got plenty. I did a podcast with Josh Fiore, possibly beginning of this year. I don't think it was it might have been the end of last season. Anyway, it's on the list. And he's, I want to say, he's 43. He's early 40s, and he was talking about this kind of. He was saying he actually got faster in his late 30s
Well, I
than
hope he's
slower. I'm
right.
pretty sure that's what he said. And I know, we get better at endurance and women are better at endurance and all of that. But yeah, he definitely did not see a decline with age in terms of speed.
I really hope he's
So.
right. And I do follow like an Italian actually trail runner who puts a lot of stress, because in this day and age we do celebrate a lot these incredible feats in terms of like UTMB and these really long races, which
Yeah.
let's be honest truly fascinates me, and I do follow them, and I'm stuck on there like usually streaming live all the time, dreaming of one day doing something like that. It's true, but it does also really fascinate me watching like these incredible fast and efficient people going through splits that are mind-boggling. And I know I can't get there, but trying to challenge myself and my body and see how fast I can get, it's still something that intrigues me at the moment. So getting faster and efficient does help in 5K, 10K distances, so I can try to be the best I can in
Yes.
those distances. And at the same time, I'll try to be decent at the longer ones as well. But it is a challenge in itself that doesn't take away anything from longer and tougher stuff.
I think once you've got the obstacle technique, you don't lose that. Even with the complete body changes that I've had in the last few years, I still haven't lost the abilities that I had to do obstacles. Or ones that I can't do that I never could do. But the ones that I could that I hammered the technique, I can still do them even though I'm really not as strong now. So that it's if you can kind of assume that that will last throughout, then yeah, you enjoy the speed and the shorter courses while you can. And then if one day you want to kind of switch to the more endurance, because there's plenty of endurance races, whether it's you do a toughest infinity or what's it called? The Europe's toughest mudder overnight or world's toughest mudder, or you know, just
Oh
there
yeah,
are
those
just
are
different
all
types of races,
amazing.
an ultra beast, etc. There's so many opportunities of different ways that people can channel what they do best at in the sport. And yeah, it doesn't even have to be to win. People get their achievements on every single level. One of my favorite finishes last year at World's Toughest Mudder was a girl who, for some reason, I started like seeing her everywhere at every race, and I really liked her and her partner. And she was at World's Toughest Mudder, and I was going through the results, and I realized that if she sped up and she finished, she would get a certain amount of laps. And if she didn't do it in the next like 4 minutes, she would lose the whole last lap. So I realized who she was and I found her partner. I was like, go find her now and tell her to hurry up because she's gonna, if she finishes, she'll get this many laps. And she ended up in the top 10 and she did it. And then she
That's
got to the finish line
amazing.
and she was so excited. And she stood there and her boyfriend is huge, or husband, and big guy. And she picked him up over her shoulder like a fireman and walked across the finish line with him. And I was like, do you know what? That's one of my top moments of today. And that's not, yeah, okay, top 10 is still incredible.
It
It's
is.
still a huge achievement, but it's, you know, it's not just the top three that are the ones who get the focus. And so there's achievements to be had all across the board. And there are people, especially in races like that, where it's every single one who even just makes the effort to step out is achieving something incredible. And I'm as guilty as of it as many people as focusing a lot on just the people who come in the top three. But there are so many great things that can be done by every single person, just kind of
No, but I don't think
giving it a
it's a
go.
guilt. Like we all want to hear from the top three girls, because we and the top three guys, even the top five, to be honest, we really admire them, and they're a great example, and we learn from their experience. We strive to be that way. But coverage or not, for me, like I'm nowhere near that just yet. But it doesn't matter. Like
Are in the UK.
international races, no, but it kind of every little achievement or every little mistake, it doesn't matter, but every step, it's something for me. And I appreciate it, even if it's an international level and nobody knows, but I know it doesn't matter if it's not a widely known thing. But as long as I have found my progression in that race, then I'm happy with it.
Perfect. So, what are your plans for the year going ahead?
Well, So I'm gonna be racing in the UK again. I think that they are organizing these really important things, incredible, to be honest, a series that is a mix of all brands in the UK and that helps also the little races.
I've not heard of
Yeah, the
this.
UK series is, it's not just one.
Oh, so like a ranking
Yeah,
series.
the UK
Yeah.
series that they have organized on UK OCR was the, and Alan was kind of the creator of the series, and then James at British Obstacle Sport, of course, highly supported and helped him put everything together, if I'm saying it right, I hope so. But they've done this amazing thing that it's kind of like going to talk to different race directors for different brand of obstacle races there in the UK and inserting all these races in the calendar and created a series for the UK. Spartan has helped a lot, and he's going to host the British Championship even this year, like last year. And then another, so we have the British Champs is like a, I think it's going to be 10 something more K, like last year, 12K or something. And then we have also a 5K sprint from Spartan. But we have a Tough Mudder that is going to be in. We have Nuclear again, that is one of the main races. We have a race up in Scotland that's called Tartan Warriors. So they have a lot of, different race organizer getting together, and that's pretty
That's really
cool. So I'd
nice.
like to try to support that the best I can, and I'll definitely go again. But then I'm also hoping to race a bit more internationally with Spartan, and also the,
Because you're on the UK
where they
team.
announced the UK
Yes, that just
team.
got announced, of
So of course I
course.
will race Spartan in the UK. That is a bit of a given.
Tell me how the team works, because that doesn't exist in the States anymore. Like,
I
what does it
don't know what
mean?
the state policy. All that we, what I was told is that it applies to both us and all the European nations as well. They all have just, you know, these elite ambassadors that they have been chosen, I suppose, based on previous year's results and presence for the brand. I don't know exactly yet things. You're still chatting with them,
Okay.
but it's pretty cool. I'm sure that they will help us racing both in the UK and internationally. Spartan has stepped up quite a bit actually in terms of trying to support us, and they've asked us
Good.
for our opinion in terms of, you know, races and everything. So it's been quite cool actually to talk to them.
That's nice. That's great. That's such a whatever it means, it's still such a nice recognition of your
Yeah, no,
achievements and
it's
what you're
been
doing.
amazing honestly, and Spartan has helped me along the way a lot with my journey. I was very lucky to get
That's so
the old
nice.
pro team at some point, which helped me to keep racing a lot. And then next year with this Elite Ambassadors team and UK team, then it of course helps me kind of going around again, and it'll be quite cool. For now, we're planning UK and Italy because it's a great excuse to see my family, even though
Yeah.
Italy is pretty
Pretty
wide, but we'll put it that way. And then my A races are gonna be definitely British champs and then Euro champs in Italy, and I'm hoping to get to Costa Rica,
Nice.
because yeah, representing the UK, it would be quite cool. And we might make a bit of a trip out of it because I've never visited Costa Rica. And then yeah, for the end of the year, they've just announced it, so I'm hoping to get to Croatia for the 5K world for Spartan. And we'll see. For now, we'll stop it that way. But I do.
Have you ever done Abu
I
Dhabi?
have. The first year it was there. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. And you've done the trifecta world champs
Yes,
as well,
two
haven't
years in a
you?
row,
So you've done a
actually.
lot of the different events that
Yeah,
exist.
that's why I said, like, actually Spartan has been great for me personally in terms of racing experience and racing with like some top level competitors and learning from it a lot. The first year in Abu Dhabi was amazing.
Yeah,
The
I've heard
beast was a beast.
that.
But I think the fun part was the preparation. To prepare for a race that was such a different different characteristic compared to usual, and try to train on sand and try to get heat acclimated and try to figure out all these details, because I'm not a professional athlete, but I'd like to try to do the best I can. So, and I'm very interested and curious, so I started listening to all these bits and bobs to try to do the best I could. So I think it was more the journey to get there that I remember in that race, and then just completing it. I think I was top 30, probably about 27th, which for me was amazing at the time, because it was like my third year competing. It was incredible, but I was truly scared of that race, in terms of, like, I didn't know. I was like, what happened?
I mean, I would be scared of racing in the desert.
I'm just, like, tired in the desert. Is somebody going to pick me up? Because, like, it doesn't sound like it. So, of course they would have. But it's just in your head in that moment. It's not completely rational. And Trifecta was incredible because of how the races are positioned. Like, they're starting with the sprint, the super, and the beast, and this challenge of trying not to be too much, to leave too big of a gap from the front. So the first year I didn't manage to make the scattered start because Esther, I think, was the winner, was way ahead of me. So for me, the second year, the biggest goal was actually to make the scattered start, and I managed. And it was kind of cool. So the gap is still very big, but I am kind of trying to work on it in my own way. Yeah. But the course in Greece is incredible, and it's just beautiful. And like, just
it looks like, I've never been, and I say this all the time, and I hope one day I can get there.
It's really cool, very challenging.
The best weekends.
What I also love that is funny is that, of course, Thomas Blanc sets the course most of the time. And I think he's get his metrics just slightly confused. Like, it's just, I think he works in...
He makes the toughest
He works
courses.
In miles, and he thinks he works in Ks or something like that. I love him.
He's mean. He's one of the sweetest, and I love that man so much. But when it comes to being a race director, he's a cruel, cruel man.
I met him very briefly, and he's incredibly nice. His 5K was about 7. His 10K was about 14, 15, 14. Don't remember. Maybe I remember badly. It was so hard. But I know that his beast was 26. So accumulate over the weekend. It was great fun. It's just like, just get ready for
a lot.
Everything getting a bit longer. But yeah, true.
It's interesting when you kind of talk about the different events that you've gone to and the ones that you're planning this year. Like, it's really nice to start to see races being different. You know, not just, we've got our setup at OCRWC, we've got the 15K, we've got a range of races that happen over a couple of days. It has been circumstances where that's kind of been carbon copied, and that's a bit boring. But now to see it kind of, there are so many opportunities. You can race in the desert.
Yeah.
You can race in, I mean, I don't know where it'll be in Costa Rica, but I'm just picturing the jungle. But, you know, Costa Rica, have we ever seen a big championship there? No. Like, okay, the setup might be similar, but it's something completely different. You know, it's something really exciting. Then you've got, well, World's Toughest Mudder happening, not World's Toughest Mudder, Infinity happening this weekend in Alula, which is again a desert
Incredible.
Race. Croatia, which is short course happening, which is going to be totally different athletes. Trifecta weekend. There's so many. The sport is just constantly growing and evolving. And are there enough people to fill out all the events to actually, you know, make them successful yet? No, but I think it's wonderful that we're kind of pushing to get those people in and get it back, rather than just going, oh, there's no point, we can't do anything.
Well, maybe more events.
It's so exciting right
more
now.
More events, and the diversification of it will actually end up attracting more people,
exactly.
which is great. Because, yes, as I said, we are a niche sport, but I think that the sport has a lot of potential, because
I think it does too.
Incredibly positive in terms of a lot of aspects that has on you, and I think it has great potential to grow. So it's, as you said, this is great to see. And I would love to race more internationally. My, of course, limitations are both with the full-time job that I also have on the side. And if my boss hears this, is not going to be very happy. And yeah, economically, the cost of the travel and everything. But I will definitely try my best to get as much experience as I can on international setting, because it really changes. And it doesn't matter the position, but I do learn a lot when I race internationally because the level of athletes is incredible. Not that in the UK it isn't. Like, we have
It's
an
different.
incredible field of ladies as well, which is also why I want to keep racing in the UK, because I think that there is still a lot to learn for me in here. But also I equally think that I have something to take from competing with them.
I agree. I agree. And I think it's great to push and try different things. There, this is a constant conversation with OCR athletes of can you make this a full-time job? And very few can. So I know there's it's so difficult to find that balance
I hope that
between
in the future
work
it'll be
money.
possible for more people.
Oh, I
I
hope so
don't
too.
think I mean, I would love to see what happens, but at the same time, I don't know. I am too bit too old, and but I hope that for like people in the UK, like Libby, like Finley, like Harry, they're all younger, about incredible athletes that we have. Maybe one day it'll be possible with
I hope
some
so.
sponsorship if the sports grows, and it will definitely help because the level will go up. And
Yeah, and I always think it's astounding the level of the athletes, considering the majority of people work as well. This isn't people focusing every single waking minute on training. They're also having to run households and have jobs.
yeah,
And I'm
definitely.
thinking you can do all of this whilst having to be a regular human as well. Like, that's crazy because OCR is not an easy sport to train for either. So
No.
it's interesting to see. It's kind of like this thing, isn't it? We need more people to make the sport more sustainable so there can be more money to make it so that more people can come in. It's like this whole,
It's a long chain.
I hope we get there. Yeah, it is. It is, but hopefully. But yeah, you've made me really excited for the year ahead now, talking about it and what's happening. I'm just thinking all of these different events. Mawzine as well,
Oh
that's
yeah, there's the
happening.
ultra there. So
European Championships is happening. What else is happening
Capron
this year? The
for Spartan, Capron
Spartan.
in
Yeah.
Austria.
Yeah.
Oh my God, did
Zellums.
I get it right? I'm gonna Google this. Geography should be
I should
better
know. I should
for
know.
me. Come on.
Nah.
Spartan, Euro. I'm
Spartans.
definitely, yeah, Capron, Spartan European Championship, Austria.
Amazing. Yeah, there's so much happening this year. And the National Series kicks off as well in the States. So yeah, there's tons. So there we go. It's going to be a big year. Maybe this is the year it all starts to regrow. That'd be so
Yeah,
exciting.
it'd be really cool. I am very excited. However the year goes, I think I've been incredibly privileged to just like meet this sport and manage to have my own little victory and achievement in the sport. And if there is more, then I'm here to try. If there isn't, then I think I've already been very lucky as I have. So I just, yeah, I'm just enjoying it.
Amazing. I love that. Fantastic. On that note, I think we should call it a day. I think that's a great
Thanks
place
so
to
much
end.
for having me.
It's been nice to get to know you a bit more and just to chat. And good luck with this year. And I hope everything you do brings you a lot of satisfaction.
Fingers crossed.